Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
If it's there. Welcome to the episode of the Love and Reality Podcast. I am your host, Ricky Valero. I'm excited after a probably month and a half hiatus. We are going to be back into the world of Vanderpump Rules Season 1. We have the finale and we have the reunion. And we're going to talk a little bit about Vanderpump Villa, because what more could I want and ask of a friend who has never been in the Vanderpump Rules, have never really been into this trash reality world, than to make him watch the season one before we start covering season two. And yes, folks, they're dropping season two all at once, but that does not mean that we're not going to cover it weekly with our Vanderpump Rules recap. Because you know what? Right after this episode, next week's episode, we're diving into season two, the long-awaited, overdue season two dive in. But as always, I'm joined by my fellow friend here and Vanderpump and Tom Sandoval lover, Mr. Matthew Fox. How are you, sir?
You know, I think the crossover we need for the shows we watch is for the next season of The Traitors to just be the cast of Vanderpump Rules and Vanderpump Villa and see how it goes. I'd say Survivor, but they wouldn't make it off the island. Die there. So, you know, better chance in that nice. I saw the breakfast spreads that they were getting every day. They have a better chance of surviving there. Plus, you know, then Tom, maybe Tom, justice for Tom, he could win.
I think if you do this, if you throw the rules, the valley, and the villa all into the traitor's room, into the traitor's castle. You're onto something here, man. I think you're onto something.
Because, I mean, what kind of allegiances and alliances can they create? None of them like each other.
Yeah, and especially after the most recent episode of The Valley. I mean, in season two, Jax is flying off the handle. You know what I mean? Which isn't really much surprising. It's okay. So let me set the stage for you guys at home, obviously, before we dive into the Vanderpump Rules here. But I'm just going to give Matthew Fox a little bit of a background, who never watched Valley season one. So he was married or is married or was married to Brittany. Okay. And Brittany and him were in a relationship and then they broke up. They have a baby together. So they were separated. All right. Separated. However, while they were separated, she was living in like an Airbnb, and then she was talking to another dude and he was screwing around on other girls. However, she had talked about possibly coming back to him, and in the conversation coming back to him, he found the iPad that their kid uses and found some explicit pictures on the iPad sent to another guy, which just so happened to be one of Jax's friends. And I was like, that's the plot of season one of Vanderpump Rules all over again. Jax lost his girl to one of his friends from work, you know, one of his buddies, except for it just happened like 20 years later.
Was the guy a bartender?
Unfortunately, he was not a bartender. Their bartending days are beyond them, but
wouldn't it have been funny if it was the same dude?
Oh my God, Frank. Just Frank comes back. And
or at least if his name is Frank, you have a moment where you're like, oh damn.
Is that the same Frank? What? Yeah, so in return, he thought it was perfectly acceptable to flip tables over while their son was in the other room and start screaming and yelling and pitching a bitch. So now she's decided that she wants nothing to do with him, and they're on the verge of divorce, and she wants to take custody. And Tom Shorts came in last episode and was the levity of like calmness and said, hey man, you shouldn't do that type of stuff. So you know.
Well, plus, again, isn't he almost 50 now?
Jax? Yes, yes.
Yeah, because he was over 30.
This was last year at that. So, like, he's got to be 50-something.
Well, I don't know if he's got to be, let's see, 1979, so 2 years older. So he's like 46.
46, gotcha. Okay.
Because I knew he was, they make a bunch of comments in the first season of Vanderpump Rules, which it's like 13 years ago that he was over 30 years old. That's at some point in time, no offense, but you got to grow up.
Just a little
also, bit. Also, it's hard to recover in the back area when you start flipping furniture once you get over 40. I mean, I don't want to break it to you, but fragility, male fragility not only applies to your ego, but to your actual physical form.
It really does. It really does. All right, folks. The moment you've all been waiting for.
Speaking of Jax.
Speaking of Jax. All right. Vanderpump Rules, Season 1, Episode 8, titled Last Call. The synopsis of the episode is, Lisa organizes a sexy photo shoot for the staff of Sir, bringing everyone together for an explosive season finale. Sheena attempts to win back Lisa's respect after storming out of her VIP dinner. After a summer of bitter fighting, Kristen and Stassi try to bury the hatchet, and the truth is finally revealed about the rumors surrounding Jax. The episode had a meager IMDb score of 7.3. So, before we dive in, we are going to talk about Season 1, Episode 8, the finale, and then we're going to talk about the reunion. And at the end of the episode, we're going to talk about Vanderpump Villa. As I mentioned earlier at the top of the show, I forced my good friend Matt Fox, who binge-watched like the entire first season in just a couple days and is still regretting the time that I asked him to do this podcast with me a few mere months ago.
But, I think my wife regrets it more than I do. She said I've destroyed her algorithm on the streaming services.
Are you watching Vanderpump? No, I'm not. I'm not watching this. Like,
oh no, she knows.
All right. So we start this episode quite interesting. With Stassi and Jack styling her dog. Like, this just like
was a metaphor. And doesn't that dog get the two dogs like?
Yes, they start. It
created a real visual metaphor for what was going on between the owners.
Yeah, they started banging with one another. Apparently, Jax is now in therapy,
where he still can't be honest.
where he still can't take be honest. And Stassi is mad because she doesn't want her dog, that dog, to wear anything that Laura Lee bought for her. It's funny to me because I watched this episode so long ago. I wish I would have watched, refreshed it. But it's so crazy of how invested I'm in the show. Like, I'm reading this stuff and I'm visualizing it happening. So it's like,
Well, I actually thought from a producer production standpoint, I told you, I think I sent a text as soon as I saw that dog sequence. That was a great metaphor for where they were going. And really for, because it's a short first season. It was only the 8th episode is the finale. And then they had 2 reunion episodes that.
Yeah.
Had varying moments. I guess one was like a clips we didn't show where they just wanted to enrage us because there were things like a really cool surprise birthday party for Tom or some lunches and stuff for Tom or some fun antics for Tom that they decided not to put in the episode so that we could spend more time focusing on Jax and Stassi and Frank and Laura Lee.
Yeah, and Laura Lee booking her world infamous gig in North Carolina. She's quitting because she's shooting in North Carolina for a Jennifer Aniston movie, which I did look up. It was We Are the Millers.
Yeah.
Which, I mean,
she doesn't have a huge part in that.
Launched her career as a big movie star. Lots of sarcasm there.
Is her name Will Poulter now?
It is Will Poulter now. Yes. Let's see here.
Because he was the breakout star of that.
I like that movie, actually.
Oh, I do too. I have probably seen We're the Millers over a dozen times. It's one of my wife's road movies. Like when we have a flight, she will download it on her iPad. And so I'll be watching. I legit had to think real hard to figure out where she is in that movie.
Yeah.
She makes it sound like it's a leading role.
She did. She did make it sound like, I mean, she quit her entire job just to go to North Carolina to shoot what
probably
she shot.
2 days.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see here. Dassey's excited finding out about Laura Lee quitting, obviously.
honestly, we were all kind of, it just, there's no coming back from that. I can't believe she didn't get in trouble for being at the bar, laying all that out from like a customer service
awful
standpoint. How, you know, I will never understand after this first season how selective Lisa is about who she decides to be upset about disrupting the atmosphere of Sir.
It made no sense to me at all. First of all, let's talk about Lisa's closet. Her closet's absurd. Just, geez, Lord, she had so many damn clothes. Stassi had dinner with Frank, like, which is random. We find that out, which obviously is like,
there's a whole bunch of things I think we find out that don't get shown on screen, that even things they talk about in the reunion. And part of me wonders, did Frank decide he just did not want to be on camera anymore? Because he doesn't come back for the reunion. It's pretty clear as they're going through that after that big public breakup that was in the show, she was with Frank for a while afterward.
Yeah.
She even talks about, and was actually with both of them at the same time, which we don't totally get an impression of until you start seeing some of the reunion stuff. I'm wondering if in future seasons they're more inclusive, but it felt like while I didn't enjoy the reunion or the clip episode for their structure or the weird back and forth conversations, aside from big ups to Tom for calling his friend out because he was pretty straight up, they, a lot of the good like revelations and things about what was going on, they kind of like yada 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 to you in the reunion episode. So it makes me wonder how they were very particular, I guess, and how they cut together these eight episodes for the story they wanted you to see.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like Frank was like not being like, Frank was a big part of the entire season and then he was just gone. It was weird. Yeah, let's see here.
Or even the party where Jackson Lorelego, that paints her in a more aggressively negative light with some of the things she says to him, it'll come out in the clip show.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, we cut it out of the episode because we want to paint a specific picture. I almost think they edited the show in such a way to make Jax look worse. Not that he's a good guy.
But... no, not at all. And again, like, a lot of what we're talking about, obviously, folks, we know these people turn out to be crazy people and all that stuff. But, you know, just going based off this first season, because, I mean, even if you look at it from the Jax point of view, it's like you're going out, you're styling your dogs with one another. You're going out having a conversation about working on each other. And then we're at this modeling shoot where Jax finds out that she's still hanging out with Frank. And it's like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? Like, I just, you know, also, can we talk about the fact that Jax in therapy, I just love that they were filming the entire time he was in therapy.
Yeah. Well, and what pieces of therapy did we not see? You know?
Yeah.
I think it's weird that they were filming in there other than to show that he can't, that he just wasn't honest until the end when he drops his bombshell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and that's crazy to me. And first off, I'm still standing on business saying Sheena didn't have to apologize to Lisa at all about what transpired at that party, but she did anyway.
I also think it's weird to, even in California, to gather all of your employees and put them in some scandalous outfits and some scandalous, they're saying they were marketing shots for the restaurant.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. It's weird because obviously, like, if you're like a modeling group and then you're just putting together like a calendar or something, or like they could have at least said, hey, we're putting a calendar, because I mean, we got Jax to put down a sock down his trunks. We had Stassi and Sheena making out. You know, that was just an interesting scenario of, I don't understand what's going on. Tom arrived. The after party. Tom arrived. A lack of Tom again. I'm hoping as we move into season two.
Well, the clip show had to have bothered you even more because there were some huge fun Tom arcs that they just were like, oh, we don't have time.
Just
for this.
Disappeared from the season. It was crazy to me. And I
it's because it wasn't enough drama that fit the narrative they were trying to push.
Yeah, exactly. And the narrative obviously includes towards the end of this episode where we see Jack sit down with Stassi and say, I did go to Vegas. I did have a relationship with someone else. It makes no sense to me at all. Like this, how they built it up, because it was like, all right, Jax adamantly swore on everybody everywhere all at once that nothing happened. And then it was revealed, all right, he said, no, I didn't do anything. So like we're in the mind frame. Jack, I mean, obviously he just is a mass liar. I mean, I guess that's what does all this really reveals, which isn't really much of a surprise to anybody. But I feel like Stassi looked awful all season, but like,
and well, we were hypercritical of her, you know, not believing him and not asking for an explanation. And the feeling of betrayal that you see on like Tom and the other everybody's girl's face is probably the feeling that we have, because, you know, he spent so much time denying it in therapy, you know, but then drops that bombshell and quits, and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it was crazy to me, you know. And then obviously Tom was the voice of reason there, saying he thought Jax was a victim, and they brought him into the house, and now he's mad. It's exactly right, you know what I mean? Like, everybody is on your side, only for you to come to the revelation of, oh yeah, no, actually I did go to Vegas. I did cheat and I did all these things. And it's like, it didn't make any sense to me how this all unfolded the way that it did.
The Jeep brand has always stood for American freedom. And now we're standing with you with Employee Pricing Plus. Hurry into your Jeep brand dealer for details today and join the family. Jeep, there's only one. Offer valid on select 2024 and 2025 Jeep brand vehicles for non-FCA employees and retirees. $200 admin fee applies. Not all buyers will qualify. Restrictions apply. Does not apply to leases. Ends June 2nd, 2025. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Obviously, it kind of really unfolded so that we can transition obviously to the reunion. And I don't know. I don't know. The reunion as a collective whole, again, it just felt to me like they left some stuff on the table in this reunion. But to start off with, obviously, I just didn't understand. Andy came in hot and heavy. I didn't mind Andy. This is my first like reunion watching him. Of reunions I've watched, he's not terrible. You know, he does a decent job. I do think the only thing that I really like about Andy is he's not afraid to, I think that's where some hosts are a little bit like, we're going to dance around the subject. Andy's a little bit more pressing on some of the things that actually did transpire. I thought it was hilarious how he read off the comments that Stassi made throughout the entirety of the show. One of the things that I found interesting is this, right? We come out strong against Stassi early on in this reunion, right? It was kind of like a mock Stassi thing, Lisa included, you know what I mean? But then shortly after this, we find out everyone, including Jax, is still working at Sir, because he quit and then he came crawling back to Lisa. I don't like, we didn't really get a full definition of what transpired there. Other than we knew that he was going to come back, what, for a season two? Like,
that was so. All of you who is still working at the restaurant, they all raised their hand. Jack, so how long did you quit for? He's like, about 5 minutes. Okay. So it was just, that's where, I mean, a lot of these reality shows, we know things are, there's not a lot of reality in.
No, there's lots of editing. Lots of editing.
Well, and also storyboarding. But was that just like a dramatic moment to give them a dramatic
A reunion
in a finale?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I mean, if he quit for 5 minutes, that means he quit in this moment and then like literally was like, no, Lisa, I'm kidding. You know what I mean? And that's what was kind of annoying. And then who said it? Who said the comment? Because obviously Stassi thought Sheena was a threat. We get the recap of that moment. And then somebody said she put sunscreen on him, not a condom. I busted out laughing when that comment was made. Apparently Stassi beat the shit out of Jax, busted his nose, and he bled everywhere. Congratulations. He says he deserved it. I mean, we've all seen Jax, and
I think those, no offense, but those two might have deserved each other, because especially they have that secrets revealed, the clips and the footage and stuff we didn't put in. Neither of them are a victim person.
No,
I think the victims are their friends who've tried to support them and got shrapnel along the way. I mean, Tom looked gutted at the end of the finale when Jax tells him he actually did do all that stuff. And then I was pretty proud of him. You know, they were sitting opposite each other at the reunion, and
yep,
he was pretty honest about, you know, you lied
everything. He was honest because he even calls out Stassi, saying that he thought she cheated on Jax with Frank. You know what I mean? He wasn't just on one side of this fence over here, but
no, I think you saw that he and the other two girls, they've had enough.
Yeah.
They've been pawns, kind of, and that's the real unfortunate part, the way the show was kind of shot. You know, stuff with Kristen and Katie and Tom basically got cut out, which you find in the Secrets Revealed clip show, because they decided to focus more on, and part of me wonders if they were still editing these down when it launched, because you and I started noting around episode 3 and 4, which is when that triangle takes off, their ratings spike on IMDb. I'm guessing yep. The talk spiked might have influenced how they edited down the end of the season. Like, for sure. Hey, if this is what people are into, this is what we need
to give them what they
focus on it. And I get that. Even scripted shows, I mean, famously Lost changed the story arc in season 3 because they started reading the message boards early on that, oh, people don't like these characters, we better literally bury them, you know. So they wouldn't be the first show to have changed, but part of me wonders, especially when you get to that Secrets Revealed and all the things that they shot that they never included, if they just decided this is a better narrative to focus on.
Yeah, and then I agree with you 100%. And then, of course, my favorite part of the entire, obviously Andy calls out Jax for going to Vegas, but then, of course, followed by asking Sandoval about taking his shirt off. Tom said that he accidentally took a Xanax that night, and he said he didn't remember why he took his shirt off. Tom, I just love you, man. Like, you know.
Accidentally took his Xanax.
Exactly. That's why I was dying laughing. Let's see here.
You know, if they do a traitor season that has all these people together, can we have Lisa's husband be the traitor? Because no one's ever going to vote him off.
Oh, my God.
No one's ever going to. Ken would be the best traitor.
He would be. Ken needs to be on season 2. Like, I need to have our season 4. Like, let's earmark that. I mean, let's put the only two people in season 4 need to be Jax and Frank. That's it. That's just have those two in the house together. Reunite it all over again. Of course, this is where Stassi reveals she and Frank were dating after the show wrapped and it recently ended. She said Frank was a better boyfriend, but Jax isn't. And then said Jax isn't a great boyfriend. And then Jax out of nowhere goes, can we take the hot seat off me for a while? And then,
well, I mean, what do you expect, dude?
You know, Tom gets his moment to shine here. You know, everybody starts picking on Tom because he can't, you know, grow a beard, which leave Tom alone. Y'all leave him alone. I will say this, man. I do appreciate that they never let the foot off the gas on Jax. And then even Tom said, Tom stands up and stands on business and says, you know, he isn't, you know, he said he's using his excuse for, you know, the excuses for pity. And breaking down that he knows he lies a lot of time, and he's still, you know, he is still my friend. But like Tom just like is like, hey man, like we're all, he said, I think what everybody was trying to say in a more articulate way. And I appreciate what he did here. You know what I mean? And that to me is like, you know, I, you know, I felt bad for, oh, by the way, while we're on it, Jax obviously is still trying to win Stassi back, which obviously is probably what we're going to see in season two. I haven't got that far yet. We're going to finally get into season two, which we're both very, very happy about. You know, honestly, if you took a shot every time Stassi cried, you would be super drunk in this episode. Yeah, you know, and then, of course, we end with Peter, who is just a irrelevant piece of the puzzle and comes out and makes a cocktail for everybody.
Look, he made it in. He did better than Frank. At least he made it into the.
Actually, this is my plea and my call to Frank. We're going to have to find Frank on social media. I need Frank to come on this podcast. Tom, you're first, though. Tom needs to come on this podcast to talk to us about this show, followed by Frank. And I want all the tea 20 years later, however many years later this is. But I'm really looking forward to diving into season two. I really have no clue what season two is about, nor do. Well, you know what? I think we're going to do it. Let's see here. IMDb. Vanderpump. Look at it. It already still pops up on my damn favorite search favorites. All right. We're going to go into season two here. Out of 12.
7.9 for the premiere. It's pretty good.
Tooth or Consequences.
Yeah.
Kyle Richards hires Lisa's posh restaurant sir to cater her cocktail event. At the party, Lisa struggles to keep tensions down between Brandy and Sheena. Later, Sheena invites everyone to a birthday party, but doesn't take long for catfights to erupt. Oh my God, I just read season two or episode two.
I know. Did you read
that? Jax first? gets a tattoo of Stassi's name to prove his love. Yeah.
Yeah, well, season three. Yeah, I mean, it's going.
I mean, this just shows all of the Jax and Stassi. Jax and Stassi.
This is not going to be a good season ending for Tom.
Oh, man. We love you, Tom. Is this the year that finally Tom ends up on her bad side? All right.
Maybe.
Speaking of which. All right, speaking of Lisa Vanderpump, I gave you a little bit of homework. You probably have some regrets. Vanderpump Villa is coming out season two, April 24th. And with that, I challenge Matthew Fox to binge watch season one. What we're going to do each and every week, we're going to cover one episode of Vanderpump Rules, one episode of Vanderpump Villa. It's both season twos, which is definitely interesting. But with that... Matthew Fox, I'd love to hear some thoughts on Vanderpump Villa season one, because I haven't watched in a while, but I remember a lot of what happened, a lot of these casting characters. I talked again to some of the cast that's returning for season two, you know, via an interview, just recently, but, we'll talk a little bit more in the second there, but give us some thoughts on Vanderpump Villa.
You know, got to be expensive to stay there, right? I mean, we're guessing a couple $100,000 for your two or three nights.
Easily. With that many people, too?
Yeah. So, you know, almost every comment card, they gave staff, like, nice ranking while noting that they were getting into fights and being kept up. If I'm paying $200,000, I don't want to be up till 5 a.m. hearing a bunch of people screaming at each other. And we know that the staff of servers has changed pretty significantly. I think there's only, what, five or six of them that are returning. It seems like she made some choices about who she decided to let come back, or side with. Maybe producers made some choices based on good drama. But you could tell there was no way they were going to be able to carry forward with some of the beyond the pale arguments that were going on back and forth. I think you and I were talking about, like, who do you even root for? Chef Anthony, who just making knockout food, trying to live a quiet life.
He's just trying to, it's crazy. He's the guy that's there just to do his job, and it just wants to do his job. And
well, and I kind of liked Andre. I thought he was a chill dude. And then you get to the reunion and they're like, yeah, he came in with a girlfriend of 4 years. And they sort of said that wasn't true, but never exactly hammered that out. And I was like, okay, that gives me another moment of pause.
Yeah, I agree. Like, there were some people on here I didn't mind. I liked Caroline in season one. I was sad she's not coming back. Thing with Eric was definitely acquired taste, and Eric is Eric. But
and we knew there's no chance he was coming back.
No. But
it seems like a lot of the people that were kind of like fighting and trying to get themselves better jobs are gone.
Yeah. So the six that are coming back for Vanderpump Villa season two, we have Gabriella and Andre, which there's obviously what is there. Hannah Marciano, which, I mean, that doesn't really surprise me. They brought him back. I don't think that those would have been the ones that I would have brought back, but it makes sense for TV purposes.
I mean, are they going to do their on again, off again relationship some more?
I plead the fifth. I have seen the first episode at least, but Anthony, the chef's back, which, I mean, it's a no brainer.
And Grace.
And Grace is back as well, which I like Grace too.
She was pretty no drama. The one whose dad's a pastor, right?
Yeah.
I think that has like the tattoo collection. Again, you are correct. I did watch 9 episodes in a 36-hour period to prepare for this. So they do some of their stories blend together. And also, if it got released week to week, some of the infighting might not have been so noticeable. But when you're just kind of
binge watching it
consecutively over a 6-hour period,
it's crazy because they're shifting from the week to week to they're dropping all of the episodes at one time. And it's kind of annoying. Obviously, there's a new season coming. Lisa Vanderpump raises the bar. She's returning with new staff and old staff with raising the stakes of $30,000 bonus and a potential job at one of her restaurants. And then, of course, the big news coming out of season two was the inclusion of Stassi, who is kind of put in charge of watching over everybody while Lisa is not around sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think this is more of like a passing of the torch type of thing. And in watching the first episode, I kind of feel that. But Lisa's presence obviously is known. But in talking to the cast, and this isn't spoiling anything, they did not know that one another was going to be there until they got there, any of the returning faces, that is.
It's fairly interesting, and we'll see how it goes. It wasn't too bad.
No, I mean at least the people work on this episode, so I mean they did more work here than they did at Sir, so
it just feels like the I mean, it wouldn't be hard. Although the ones that seemed to get positive plaudits on the comment card weren't exactly what I would call working.
No, no, it's the life of the party.
It's interesting though. The we look at the IMDb ratings. The rating for the series overall is not very high, and the ratings for each episode kind of decline.
Yeah.
Quite a bit from the, like, their top rated episode is only a 6.4. That is lower than any of the first season Vanderpump Rules episodes that we watched. And overall, the series looks like it has a 5.1 out of 10, which, you know, people
might be why they're dropping it all at once.
Exactly vibing with it the same way. And I think that makes sense because whether you like them or not, the characters on, or the characters, I guess they are characters, sort of. the cast on Vanderpump Rules makes an impression. Mm-hmm. And I would say that was the kind of weirdest part for me on here. A couple of them make an impression in a real negative sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, three of them really stood out for being almost caustic, and two of them are coming back in season two. And I'm like, all right. I don't totally get that. You know, from their confessional interviews to the way they behaved on screen and interacting with guests, you know, it does. You can never tell if that's a little bit how they're being edited or if they're getting prompted to do some of these things, but I was kind of surprised Marciano and Hannah are back.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is just because the drama's already there. The drama dictates a lot of what they're doing anyway, so it was kind of easy for them to you know, bring that back and bring that drama back and have that drama primed ready to go for another season. I think that's what really at the end, I mean, we know that what it is at the end of the day, right? You know what I mean? So, but that being said, next week, obviously will be the first episode of Vanderpump Villa where we break it down. So season 2, episode 1 of Vanderpump Villa and season 2, episode 1 of Vanderpump Rules is what we'll be breaking down next week. Excited to dive into that world, make us a little bit of a Vanderpump half hour here where we're talking about all things Vanderpump. I'm really enjoying it. I'm excited to dive into season 2 of Vanderpump Rules with my boy Matthew Fox. We appreciate you guys tuning in. And like I said, we'll be back each and every week now, diving into this world and some of the other things going on the Love and Reality podcast over on the YouTube channel. You can check out a lot of the interviews I did for Extract It. That's coming to an end. And if this is probably airing Monday or Tuesday, it's probably already come to an end. You can check out all my exit interviews. Battle Camp drops on March or April 23rd as well, which I really, really enjoyed that. And and of course, The Valley's on. Lots of reality TV. There's a new show called Love Hotel coming out at the end of the month that I might try to sneak an episode or two of in to see what that's talking about. But lots of reality TV happening at lots of different times, and I'm very, very excited to dive into this world. Thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode. Matthew Fox, thank you for joining me. We'll be back next week.
The Jeep brand has always stood for American freedom. And now we're standing with you with Employee Pricing Plus. Hurry into your Jeep brand dealer for details today and join the family. Jeep, there's only one. Offer valid on select 2024 and 2025 Jeep brand vehicles for non-FCA employees and retirees. $200 admin fee applies. Not all buyers will qualify. Restrictions apply. Does not apply to leases. Ends June 2nd, 2025. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a Real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a Real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your Real ID at tsa.gov/realid. That's tsa.gov/realid. Or visit your local DMV. And then you'll be cleared for takeoff.